Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with a voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton, color analyst Jeff Lagerman, and Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Community First Credit Union, Carrie Limousine, Wachovia, Sunny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening and welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. I'm Brian Sexton, joined by Jeff Lagerman. Vic Ketchman is here, and Joe Fortunato. He's going to talk a whole lot more tonight than he has at any point this year. So be prepared, folks, for just about anything. Phone number this evening, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351, at Jags Voice, if you want to do the Twitter thing. And where do you want to start tonight?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. There's just so many possibilities. A little birdie told me that Trent Edwards was sharp and decisive on the practice field today, and that
he should be the starter right away.
The reason the story was told to me was that David evidently responded with a sharp, decisive
tone. Too late. Too late for that. How long do we have to wait?
Well, oh, 4 weeks. But anyway, that
you're already fired up.
I'm just getting out of the way. So where do you want to start tonight? Maggie, what's on your mind? You've got a wry smile.
I think everywhere I've gone, everybody's like, oh, they want to talk. I'm just like, oh, yeah. Holy cow.
What's wrong with the Jags? Well, let me tell you what I think's wrong with the Jags. Did you get that?
Yeah, oh, there's been a lot of folks that have an opinion, but I like that. Mm-hmm. Because it means that people are passionate and care about their football team, and I like it.
Okay.
It's a heck of a lot better than apathy, in which they don't care.
I haven't encountered much apathy this week.
Hang on. If this continues, you're going to get that, too.
No, it could. I mean, it could eventually turn to that. But, I'm hoping for big things this week. I'm going to keep a glass half full kind of outlook.
Okay. Will you make the same pledge?
There's no chance in H-E-double hockey sticks that Vic will.
Whoa. I took that attitude last week, all right?
Which attitude?
I was expecting big things.
No, you were not.
I didn't get big things. I'm gonna be a little more cautious, a little more reserved with my expectations this week.
This is a tough week. I mean, if you could pick an opponent. I mean, if you could pick one opponent that you would not want to face after the last two games, this is it.
Right. I mean, you don't want to face this guy, but it's not the postseason.
I love
now, if this was the playoffs, you want him.
Yeah. let me stick my neck out here for just a moment, and it's going to get chopped off, but I'll say it anyway. Doesn't this defense have better personnel this year than it did a year ago? Don't they give themselves
across the board? Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
You don't have Reggie Nelson at safety, although you're lacking a bit at safety. And I'm not trying to say
you
that
could call that
better.
A wash. I mean, but still, you're better.
I was going to say
where you're better up front.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
up front. You're better
not in the back.
Spot.
You're not better in the back.
You're not any worse.
Well, Derek Cox isn't in the lineup. You get him
but
back
he's
to where
he's
he was
on the roster.
But I mean, if you get him back to where he was last year, then I think you're okay. But they're really struggling in the back because. Safety has not been improved, and cornerback has been worsened.
Well, I mean, it's hard to say,
is
by
that
the way.
Fair?
Yeah, it's hard to say that, and the reason I said stick my neck out, it's hard to say what I'm saying, based on the way they've played the last 2 weeks. But when you look at them on both sides of the ball, isn't their personnel better? And remember, they played them 35-31 last December 17th.
Okay. Let me answer.
I guess where I'm going is, how far are they from that?
Yeah, well, let me answer what you're asking. On the offensive side of the ball, there's no excuse for this. This should be this offense should be carrying this team. The ingredients are there, two good-looking young tackles, a star running back, and certainly, in my opinion, an adequate receiving core with a star tight end and another tight end who. Anytime you want to emerge now, Zach, we're waiting for you. I'm ready.
I'd like to see him throw the ball a little bit his way.
Okay, absolutely. Me too. And a veteran quarterback who's stood up under a lot of pressure. He's been down the road. Probably the best blocking fullback in the league. Nah, on offense, I don't think there's any excuse.
The quarterback is the engine. I'm plain and simple. The quarterback's the engine.
Well, he's a veteran.
The engine ain't running good right now.
He should be playing better.
He should be playing way better. I mean, this is what, your four is the starter?
David Garrard is a better quarterback than what he's playing
he's
right now.
He's not showing it.
Well, he should be showing it because he's a better quarterback than this.
Absolutely should be.
Is there any reason why he couldn't show it on Sunday?
I don't know. It was the backup problem because I thought he looked lead-footed. I thought he looked really unathletic on Sunday. First time ever I can say that I think David Garrard looked to me, he looked unathletic.
I haven't been told he had a back injury. I have not heard that. So
we had it last week.
Well, he had that in San Diego, right?
No.
Yeah, he missed a day of practice.
Yeah, it was San Diego was when the problem originally popped up where he missed a day of practice.
Okay. So he didn't have back problems last week?
No.
Well, I don't know that, but he didn't miss practice because of it last week.
There was nothing on the injury report last week with David Garrard in a back. He didn't play well. Played like garbage.
Yeah, the back was San Diego. Well, okay. So here's my question. Terrence Knighton played like garbage.
2 weeks.
Right. And then last week
he came
out. Well,
the first week was, disappointing. The second week was garbage.
Okay. He came out and he played better. Is there any reason why David couldn't dig into the playbook, have a better practice, have a better week?
No.
I'm speaking hypothetically.
No.
Now.
I mean,
the offense could play close to
this
good.
Offense should be carrying this team. Do you agree?
Yes.
Now, if that's the case.
Two good running backs, a veteran quarterback,
And they've run
offensive line that's better.
And they've run against the Colts. Now, if that's the case and the offense rises, it's totally hypothetical here.
You know what's amazing?
The defense in better shape to play this year.
Is that if you look at the numbers, Maurice and Rashad, and obviously Maurice still hasn't gotten that pop. He looked better this past week. But if you look at their numbers, and then you actually go back and you watch the tape like I do, and you see how teams face this offense. The quarterback should be having a field day.
They've got nine in the box.
Playing 8-9 in the box.
They're pressing the issue.
And Maurice is still averaging, 4 yards a carry. Rashad is, where's he at now?
Jeffrey, why aren't they throwing the ball down the field? Will you please?
Rashad is averaging 5.2. Maurice is at 3.8 now.
Why is the field shrinking? Why aren't they throwing the ball down the field?
I don't know. Is it they're not throwing the ball down the field? I mean,
is he changing the play? Is he not? Is he just not?
No. Hey, look, I don't know. I know one thing. When the ball is called to be thrown, he's not throwing it well.
Are they running receivers deep? Are they running guys deep?
Yeah. There's some guys going deep. Now, in the first week, I didn't see a lot of guys getting deep. It was kind of a short attack plan. Mm-hmm. San Diego, you saw guys going deep. I mean, heck, early into the game, Taekwon running deep.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They were going to take some chances against San Diego's secondary. This past week, quarterback didn't play well. And you know what? Here's the thing. If you're an offensive coordinator and a quarterback comes out in the first couple of plays, that doesn't look so good. How confident are you going to be to start calling deep throws?
Short throws didn't work.
Hey, we said it before. This is a quarterback league. David Garrard had better play better. And he'd better play better in a couple weeks, over the next couple weeks, because
he won't be
playing.
All right. Do we have a minute here?
Let's take a minute, Joe.
All right. Since this is a quarterback league, then I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that from 2003 to 2010, they didn't draft a quarterback. And now they find themselves completely void of a young guy to say, go on in there and give the veteran. We talked a year ago about pushing a young lion to push the veteran.
I want
to
any.
Shut the tempo.
I want a lion. I don't care about a young lion, old lion. I want a lion.
Listen, I had Gene Smith on the Jaguars Monday show with Gene Smith.
Yeah, you grilled him.
We were both sitting in the parking lot at the television station. Neither one of us wanted to go in.
Hey, I got looks too. Anyhow,
I bet you did.
He was sitting right where you are. when the interrogation.
Did you turn the lights off and hold the flashlight in his face? I mean, that's what I felt like.
You can't do that. You can't pass.
Now you can't ask questions like that.
No, that's not what I mean. You cannot pass in a quarterback league. You cannot pass on three guys just three guys who are now quarterbacks of playoff contenders, starting quarterbacks of playoff contenders. You can't do that to take pass rush specialists and wide receivers who are making position switches. You can't do that. So,
you know,
we're passing this blame around to David Garrard and Jack Del Rio, and people now are passing it on to Gene Smith, let's not forget
the guy in
Jack
Detroit.
Harris, all right? Because there were a lot of failed draft picks in those years that has now created this monster that we're all dealing with.
Joe, I think now would be a good time for you to read a card, and let's take a break.
You got to be us. Fans, Flex Packs from the Jaguars are now available. Select any three of the remaining home games to build your own three-game mini-season ticket. Flex Packs start at just $45 per game. Call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com to create your own Flex Pack today. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. They can test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. You want to talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic? Real easy to do. 355-NFL1, 1-800-355-NFL1, or you can tweet at Jags Voice.
In the studio for
again.
Us. It's like having Don Pardo with us tonight.
Tell us, Don Pardo!
Sexton's got a little bit of a funkety funk, and so
give Joe's helping
a
out.
Break. The voice is taking a little break.
Thank God.
That's a very nice read there, Joe.
Thanks.
You got a nice
Joe, how long have you been in radio?
In a kind of real, you know, elevator kind of way.
Almost as long as you're old, dude.
Have you really been in radio that long? How old are you?
58. Close.
I was just kidding.
We love you, Joe. We just want you to know
I would
know
have
that.
Guessed like 45. You look great.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah. Are you done?
Did you see, have you seen the YouTube video of those heathens from your city?
What do they do?
Fighting in our upper deck, swinging punches.
I claim no responsibility.
Yeah. They're probably related to you.
Well, we're all brothers.
The city of brotherly love. What a joke.
All right, the injury report is out. Things of note, the most important thing, Jaguars secondary trying to get healthy. There is no sign of Anthony Smith on the injury report. So that means that he did practice full. Landon Cohen, defensive tackle, was limited. Sean Considine, safety, and Justin Durant, linebacker, did not participate.
All right, let me ask you a hypothetical question. Vic, I know where you're going to go with this. You don't, you know, save your team on the waiver wire.
No.
But how much better will the Jaguars' safety position play if Anthony Smith is on the field healthy and Gerald Alexander plays as well as he did last year?
And Anthony Smith is not a pass coverage guy. He's a run support. He's a physical guy. He's a banger. I mean, you know, maybe he'll make you better, but I mean,
well,
that's...
I will tell you, today I went back and I watched the December matchup against the Indianapolis Colts. And I don't know if I saw anybody cover Dwight Clark, Dallas Clark, that's going way back, Clark better all year long than what he did against Dallas Clark. I think he did a tremendous job against Dallas Clark. So having him there and having him available to do that, I mean, that's big.
So could
because Justin Durant,
well, he can't be as bad as what they've had out there. I mean, you know, he's got to be better. I mean,
that's what I was thinking.
They're getting killed. They're just getting killed in the secondary. There is no other way to put it.
Well, and one of the guys you kind of expected to be a real fixture, a real solid player in the secondary was Rasheen, and Rasheen's not playing all that well. I mean, you know, Rasheen, I understand that, you know, you can't cover a guy forever, but if you keep your body in position, you might have been able to stop that one touchdown there in the corner of that end zone. Rasheen has to be better.
He tried to push the guy out of bounds and missed. That's what he told me.
Yeah. Don't. I mean, that's kind of gambling. Don't do it. Stay in front. Cover him up. Simple as that. No safeties. They're going to be there to bail you out.
You know, the Derek Cox mystery, as reporters, we're all trying to get to the bottom of it, and apparently there is no bottom to it because it is what it is, and we're trying to read more into it than there is. It just sounds like he lost his game and he's struggling to get it back. But based on what I saw of David Jones last week, you might want to hurry him up.
Well, he's going to have to play now. I mean, you let Michael Coe go. Don Carey and Brackenridge are now safeties. And typically you don't have safeties in that nickel or dime package.
I would think he'll start and David Jones will be your nickel.
So we'll see.
I mean, you know, it is, you know, you got to play. I mean, I know there's, I don't think he has a foot injury. Maybe he does. I don't know. I don't think that's it. Sounds like Jack Del Rio painted it today as if to say he's a deep thinker and he's thinking too much and he just needs, they, you know, just want him to react. Well, then shut down your mind, Derek, and go out and react.
Didn't you say the exact same thing, different words last year, that he was not aggressive enough, that he was too tentative? First six or eight games of the year when you watched him?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. You know, he has some skills. There's no doubt. He's physical. He has skills. Does he have skills that I believe is going to make him a guy that can shut somebody down? No.
He doesn't play that shutdown corner position either.
No.
He's a squat corner.
So, you know, he's got to get more out of his ability because, you know, he's a smart guy. He is a guy that cares about how his team does, how he does.
Yes, he does.
And, you know, just like the quarterback. I mean, for all those that are getting down on David, hey, remember one thing, folks. I mean, the guy cares. You know, he cares about how he plays. He cares about this team, the city. And he's giving you everything he has, but it's not good enough yet. Okay, and hopefully it will be this week. But just remember that, folks. Because, you know, is there another job? I mean, and for all the fans out there, I mean, you know, hey, look, you know, it's, as a fan, you got a right to have an opinion. But just remember, I mean, this is a job in which everybody gets to critique your job. Yeah. And, in fact, it reminds me of that commercial in which I think it was ESPN or something. Something. It was Peyton Manning.
At the Applebee's?
And yeah. And he was giving the one guy a hard time about the job that he was doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thought that was classic. Mm-hmm. So I would just kind of remember that. Keep that in the back of your mind, folks.
All right. Vic, will you look over my shoulder here and see Tom's thought on line five?
Okay.
We've got news here in about 90 seconds. Do you want to attack this one now?
Yeah, let's get it.
All right. Can we go just a little bit longer if we have to? Okay. So how do you pronounce Valkyria? Where you're from?
Valkyria?
Valkyria. Where is that, Tom?
South of Melbourne.
All right. Welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
All right. Vic, I guess I'm talking to you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Because you're the one that's talking about Shaq Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And first off, I agree with you that they should have drafted Roethlisberger. But I'm looking at this and...
Don't stop at Roethlisberger. I gave you three names. Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, and Chad Henne. Just pick one. You know, I mean, you can't neglect the quarterback position for 7 years. Go ahead.
Okay.
It's not just one guy.
Okay, Roethlisberger was the top of their list. You talked about that Monday, right?
Uh-huh.
But where was Reggie Nelson? Where's Reggie Williams? He wasn't down there like 14th or something, was he?
Where is he now? It's a
I know where he is.
It's
now,
a crystal ball business.
About when they picked him, they're not going to pick him based on what they know now. They didn't know that back then.
Okay. It's a crystal ball business. And you have to be able – you're not picking these guys based on what they did. You're picking them based on what you believe they will do.
Right, exactly.
Well, Reggie Nelson. I mean, do you want to go through his litany of problems? There was marijuana use. There was I don't want to go through this with Reggie Williams. I think we know
but who
was a bad selection.
Okay, but who put him – on the list. Shaq Harris did not make that list, did he?
Yeah, he did.
He made the list?
He was fully responsible for personnel.
Tom, make no mistake about it. He wasn't the only person that did that list, but I can assure you that the top of that list was done by him.
Okay.
It's real simple. Gene Smith right now as general manager is responsible for all matters involving personnel. It means acquiring players and cutting players. In those days, Jack Del Rio was responsible for cutting players only, cutting the roster. Shaq Harris was fully responsible, had final say in all matters involving the acquisition of players.
Okay, that wasn't what it was said back then.
Yes, it was. I don't know where you got the information. That's what was said. I mean, I remember sitting at a luncheon with Wayne. It was me and Wayne and Vito Stellino, and we held Wayne's hands to the fire, and Vito finally asked, okay, if they can't come to an agreement, who ultimately has final say? And Wayne said, ultimately, Shaq Harris will have final say, and I wrote it. So you just didn't see it, but he was...
No, I remember that, but my understanding is that they tried to come to agreement first.
Right.
They would always try to come to an agreement first.
I mean, if you want more information on this, I mean, I know it all. I mean, I've spent years trying to get the information on that pick, all right? And the Aaron Rodgers pick, too. Aaron Rodgers got a red dot, all right? Because they didn't want to pick. He had a shoulder. There were shoulder concerns. They didn't want to pick a quarterback. They kept pushing that Byron Leftwich agenda. You want to know what the truth is? This coaching staff over here knew after year one they had the wrong guy. They knew they had the wrong guy.
From what I understand, they
knew it before then.
Yeah, they weren't exactly on board.
That's why I'm pushing the Roethlisberger thing, because they knew. The coaches knew. And they wanted, the coaches wanted to dip at the position again.
But Shaq Harris made the pick of Leftwich and then had to support it.
Right. So I'm not going to let him off the hook.
All right. Tom, we appreciate the call from just south of Melbourne. Have a very pleasant evening. Stay dry, because it appears you're going to get very wet.
I didn't know that then. I mean, this is now I'm right. Getting this. I didn't know that he was the wrong guy. But I know that they knew.
At that point, I knew that there was some that weren't on board with it.
All right, gang, Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Robinson Jewelry Company in Fernandina Beach, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, and Kingsley Jewelry in Orange Park. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on right after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Gang, you can visit Sports Mania today for your chance to win the ultimate Jaguars game day experience. A limo ride, club seats, and Sky Lounge tailgate party passes for the Jaguars-Colts game. Register for free at your closest Sports Mania in Jacksonville. Voice?
Thank you, Joe. I have a couple of tweets here. Let's go with Scott1928. Brian, could you ask Jeff, since he's watching the tape, how are the receivers looking? Are they consistently getting open? Thank you.
They can be better. I think this past week I thought Mike Sims Walker's routes can be a lot better. I think Mike Thomas was a little better than Mike Sims Walker. Tyquan's got a lot to learn.
He's just a speed guy.
Well, yeah, but you know, you can't drop balls.
Did he drop another one?
Yeah, he dropped
one.
Which one? Right there.
Where was that?
Down the sideline, right?
It was on the other side of the field. In front of the Eagles bench.
Oh, that was contested. That wasn't a draw.
I didn't see a hand get in there. There might have been a hand that got up in his field of view.
Okay.
You know, I mean, they can be better.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you watch Kyle Orton and Peyton Manning, watched a little bit of them this week, and you just see the anticipation. When the receiver is still 10 yards from a spot, the ball's on its way. And Dave's not doing that.
No, the ball's out late. He said it today.
He's never been great at that. His anticipation has never been great.
He wants everybody to post up.
It's really late.
He wants everybody to be standing still and open.
He wants them to be out there waving their arms. Right. I mean, come on, David. Right. I mean, that's not the way it works at the NFL level. I mean, you got to know whether you can throw it or not, and it's got to be gone before the receiver even knows it's on the way most of the time. And he's not doing it.
How about this one?
So I say that as kind of a for the tweeter there, or the Twitter guy.
Scott.
I talk about the receivers, but then I add that about David, because you know what? The separation is not great, but you know what? There's not a lot of separation at this level.
That's right.
The ball is usually
there
and on the spot.
That is Asante Samuel, and that is Ellis Hobbs. Those are accomplished pass defenders.
Sure.
All right, this one, Vic, is more for you. It asks, are there other teams that you know of that have gone seven drafts without selecting a quarterback?
No. I did some homework on that, too. Looked at the Patriots. I looked at the Steelers. I looked at the Eagles. They've all had multiple picks since then. the Patriots. I can't remember if Castle was a pick.
He was.
Castle was a pick. They also had. They even had the guy from LSU that you know couldn't throw a stone in the ocean, Rohan Davey.
Oh yeah.
And the Steelers have had Dennis Dixon. The Steelers had another guy. Brian St. Pierre from Boston College, couple other guys. I looked at Ravens.
Eagles even got Kafka this year. What, like fourth round?
Yeah. Now Kafka is a weak arm guy, but he's a definite prospect to be a long term backup.
Yeah, they like him.
An Alex Van Pelt kind of guy. 10 years, nothing but a backup. But whenever you needed him, he was ready for you. But he's a weak arm guy. The Eagles have taken several. Who else did I look at?
Not the Tennessee Titans.
Well, they took Vince.
But besides Vince.
Okay, I think I looked at them. Hold on.
Because I'm not. Nothing's coming to my mind with the Tennessee Titans.
Is Billy Volek a draft pick?
Volek is, I believe, a draft pick. I could be wrong on that, but he was there. No. There's. I'm going to get their book here.
All right. Then let me go back here and ask you one more question from John. He wants to know, can the defensive line get to Manning with four guys?
Yeah, because the offensive line for the Colts is not very good. You know, this past week they started a undrafted rookie at left tackle. They left guard, Richard. Jamie Richard is not all that good. Saturday, still a good player. The right guard. Pollock is not that good. Ryan Dean, the right tackle, is a good player.
Yeah.
But they're really weak at the guard spots, and if they don't have Charlie Johnson, who really used to be a guard, they're not real good. But, you know, much like if for those that watched the Sunday night game where you had Indianapolis against the Giants to where they had Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis on that 3-second clock, and they were, they were killing Eli in like 2.4, 2.5, 2.6 seconds, which is unheard of. But, you know, you put the clock on Peyton Manning, and it's amazing how many times the ball is out within 3 seconds. I mean, that's fast. That's real fast. So it's hard to get there to him, but you know what? In the three games so far this year, I think he's taken more hits maybe than in any three-game stretch maybe in his career. He's taken a lot of hits. He's only been sacked, what, three times?
Yeah. Charlie Johnson, by the way, did participate in practice today.
Okay. So. But he's taken a lot of hits. And, you know, hey, hits pile up. They add up.
This is interesting.
Okay.
Billy Volek was a free agent guy.
Okay.
All right. So you're going to be interested. Since 1999, the Tennessee Titans, I better look at 98, too, since 1998.
When they were still the Oilers.
Since 1997. Folks,
you're going all the way back. You got to go. Do you have to get back to McNair?
I am now back. I am now back to Steve McNair.
There you go.
Since Steve McNair was their first round pick in 1995, the Tennessee Titans have only selected two quarterbacks. Did they draft one this past year? No.
No.
They've only selected two quarterbacks during that time. Vince Young in 2006 and a guy named Kevin Daft. Let me find him again.
Late round pick?
Oh, yeah. You guys talking, I'll find him again. He's in here somewhere.
But, I mean, that's a perfect example. I mean, you've got to give that position a lot of attention.
And where are the Titans challenged? At what position?
Quarterback.
Quarterback. I mean, this is a classic example. Let me find Kevin Daft for you, please, before we go. Doggone, where is
this?
Well,
come
guy?
On, Vic.
I know I found
it's
him once.
Small type.
His name is Kevin Daft.
I remember him. Is he Northwestern?
Here he is. Here he is. In the fifth round in 1999. Well, that's the guy.
From where?
From California Davis.
Okay.
They selected Kevin Daft. If there were two positions the Titans have drafted over and over and over in that time, it's cornerback and defensive end. Over and over and over. Hey, the reason you can't get over the hump is because you don't have the man. What's it going to take to get it across to some of these coaches and personnel guys that it is, as you said, a quarterback-driven league more than ever? It's nice to be physical. It's wonderful. But you've got to have the man. And Vince Young isn't the man. And to have drafted really two quarterbacks, one really, since 1995 is insanity.
How many of the Jaguars drafted since 95? Rob Johnson, Jonathan Quinn.
I have to get the book and look.
Byron Leftwich.
I'll get some other ones here.
That's just interesting. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more Jaguars this week after this. Oh, you want? I'm sorry. You're supposed to be doing that. Thank you.
I have things to read. Welcome to Teal Town, Brian Sexton. 3 hours prior to every Jaguars home game, you can check out Teal Town. Live bands, a huge LED screen, interactive games, football drills, and specially discounted concessions, including $2 draft beers. Admission is free, and no game ticket is required. Teal Town, just south of the Pepsi Plaza at Everbank Field. Jaguars this week rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Fans, when the Jaguars win, everybody wins, even Brian Sexton. It's at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Get a free pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Monday or Tuesday after a winning game. It happens at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. And, Brian, I got to tell you, our manager of communications, Ryan Robinson, has predicted pork sandwiches for everybody next week.
Wow. And he's a guy who was in Indianapolis.
Yep.
What does he know that we don't? You ready with numbers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. These are the New England Patriots. I've got the Indianapolis book in my hand, so after I get done with these, I'm going to...
You said you're missing 2 years for New England, right?
I got old books.
What years do you need?
I need 08 and 09 for the Patriots.
Okay. They drafted in 08 Kevin O'Connell.
Okay.
Quarterback, San Diego State. And then in 09, they did not draft a quarterback.
Okay, how about the Steelers in 09?
The Steelers in 09, no quarterbacks.
Okay, if you would you look up Indianapolis while I give the people the results on these two teams? And I'm using the Patriots, the Steelers, and the Colts for the obvious reason that they have.
What do you want for Indianapolis?
Since 2000.
Since 2000? Okay,
yeah.
All right,
since 2000, the New England Patriots have drafted Tom Brady, Rohan Davey, Cliff Kingsbury, Matt Cassel, and Kevin O'Connell. That's five quarterbacks. That's 2000 through 2009. I don't even have the 2010. That's 2000 through 2009. During that same period, 2000 through 2009, the Steelers have drafted also five quarterbacks: T. Martin, Brian St. Pierre, Ben Roethlisberger, Omar Jacobs, and Dennis Dixon. You see here, you're going to strike out on some of these guys.
Right.
They're all not going to be Brady and Roethlisberger. But you got to keep drafting them.
Can I give you some numbers just that might shock you?
Please do, while Jeff's getting Indianapolis.
I got it for you.
All right, give me Indianapolis. All right,
Indianapolis, they drafted Jim Sorge.
In what year?
Jim Sorge was, give me a second here, I was going down past. Go ahead, Brian, and I'll get it.
The Jaguars have, in 16 drafts, selected 139 players total at all positions. They have selected four quarterbacks in 16 years.
Yes, that won't work.
Rob Johnson, Jonathan Quinn, David Garrard, Byron Leftwich.
Yeah, it won't work. Go ahead.
Curtis Painter was in 09.
Okay.
Okay, and then Jim Sorge was in 04.
Okay.
And then the previous one to that was Peyton Manning in 98.
Okay. Now, they've been able to get away with it because of Manning, because of his durability. They've drafted three guys, two guys in the last 6 years, whereas the Jaguars haven't drafted anybody. And even with Peyton Manning as your quarterback, they drafted two guys in the last 6 years. I mean, it's just I think those numbers tell the story.
They do. Absolutely, they do. Let's grab a couple calls here before we break at the top of the hour.
You kind of sort of drafted a guy in Luke McCown. He gave up a draft pick for him, so, you know, maybe.
No, that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
I'm just saying.
All right, let's grab Alan.
He didn't cost you a draft pick.
From the South Side. Alan, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing? I was watching the game in the second quarter, about 13 and a half minutes. There were second and, I think, 10. And for some reason, Garrard felt like he was going to be Maurice Jones-Drew and try to go through the line. He got bounced off of him like a pinball, and somehow we ended up third and 17. And I was wondering, you know, that play was silly for them. It didn't look very professional, and who made that call? Was that Garrard or was the offensive coordinator?
I'm trying to think. Was it a pass and he just scrambled?
I think so.
No, he just went. There was no handoff or nothing.
Talking about the third and short.
You're talking about the third and six quarterback draw.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was a third and six play, and it was a design quarterback draw.
Right.
And or a design quarterback run. And there was a bunch of green and white jerseys all around the line of scrimmage. And not a good play.
You know, the Eagles' defensive philosophy, game plan was simple. They thought they could win with their corners, so everybody else sick them.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked.
Real quick, a bunch of people have tweeted that we forgot a quarterback for the Titans.
Who?
Rusty Smith, the local kid from Florida.
That's this year, though.
You were counting this year?
No, I was okay. Just going through. Like I said, the books.
Right.
The books I had okay. were 2 years dated, so you can add Rusty Smith, but he's this year.
Right. Okay.
It doesn't
dramatically increase their numbers anyway. So.
No, that gives them Kevin Daft, Vince Young, and Rusty Smith.
So they've drafted four quarterbacks since 1995 as well.
Yeah.
If you count Steve McNair.
Well, these other teams are since 2000.
Right. No, and we were going back to 95 with the
Titans
and Jaguars.
Let's not confuse it with minutia, okay? I think we've painted a picture here. The teams that have a problem with quarterback, the Jaguars, the Titans, have not drafted the position. Teams that have do not have a problem at quarterback have drafted the position. That's all we're seeking.
NFL 1. We have time for one more thought. It's Marcus from Silver Spring, Maryland. Marcus, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Good.
Man, this is my first time calling. I would just like to say, big Jaguars fan, we're getting on the quarterbacks, and basically it looks like he has no time. I mean, he's going to get jittery sitting back there. You know, these guys are trying to take his head off, and basically we know what David could do. We've seen him do it before, and I think he just needs to get a little bit more time to get more comfortable. And also, can y'all tell me about DeAnthony Smith?
He's got he's had Achilles surgery and he's done for the year.
Yeah, he's done. Now to talk about David and does he have enough time? There's no doubt that it's not all him, okay, but there's a large chunk of it sitting on his plate.
Right.
I drew a play Monday on Jaguars All Access where David was in the shotgun, and when he got the snap, he actually took a five-step drop after receiving the ball and planted his back foot at 10 yards. Hey, Brian Sexton can rush a rush point at 10 yards if you're an end.
I take that as a point of pride.
You allow too much width to the end.
It makes it easy.
Mm-hmm. He takes the circuitous route.
Sure. And on that particular play, you watch it, and Eugene is riding his guy thinking, he's got his guy about 9.
Right.
Evan's riding his guy.
So he rode him right into the quarterback.
Yeah, they're thinking that right. David's going right. to be, 7-8, stepping up from 7 or 8, and he was at 10.
So it looks like like it's Monroe's problem. He's, and it's
yeah.
not.
It looked like it was Eugene and Evan's fault, right. But no, whoa, wait, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. You can't get to 10 and plant your foot and stay there.
That's right.
And I think taking a five-step drop after receiving a shotgun snap is an indication of a lack of confidence, because you're not going to do that when you're confident with where you're going to go with the ball.
And we will leave it at that. News is next.
Fans, you can vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. That's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for the details. Hour number 2 of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Brian Sexton.
You should really do this for a living.
Jeff Loggeman and Vic Ketchman.
You should be paid more than you are.
Well, that goes without saying.
The talents that you bring.
But
finally utilizing
other than
them.
That.
God bless you.
And bless you too.
Okay.
Of course, you've been sneezing, so
yeah,
I really
try not to.
Has a double meaning for
Nobody
you.
Nobody wants to be in front of this microphone. Oh, who's next? Oh, Cole.
That'd be Cole.
Good luck.
This is Culpepper.
Yeah, and then the next day we'll be like, this is Culpepper.
It's not this is, I'm Culpepper.
First you have to pause.
Well, it reminds
I'm Culpepper.
It reminds you of the great Chevy Chase line, right? I'm Chevy Chase.
I'm Chevy Chase.
And you're not.
And you're not.
So here we go. Hour number two. Have we in all of this quarterback talk, have you said as much as you want to say on the acquisition of Trent Edwards? Thoughts? I mean, Loggy, you were talking to Dick Geron.
Passes the eye test.
Sunday.
He's a big guy. Dick Geron loves the guy. You know, and I didn't talk to Dick Sunday about you know Trent Edwards because obviously he hadn't been released yet. But I remember talking to Dick Geron. How many times have we been up there when Trent Edwards was the quarterback?
We were there.
Not up there. He was
well, once here. I know that.
Yeah.
2008. He was the quarterback here. He was a rookie. In
best 07. Game he ever played.
Just that one year, right?
Here, right?
Yeah. And I remember talking to Dick Geron after the game because Trent Edwards had a pretty daggum good game.
Best game he ever played.
283 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, and that was his first game as a starter, right? I think that was his first year.
It was week two of 2008 season.
But that was
kind of
at the point where he just – and Dick Geron just loved the guy.
There was a lot to like, man.
He really felt like that they got a guy, you know, their guy. And so I don't know what happened between then and now. We haven't seen Trent Edwards
couple
much.
Couple of concussions, ankle injuries.
He's a sharp guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's quick. He's decisive. He's smart. You know, you just hope that he's going to have something to give this football team, whether it be as, you know, a backup in the future or a guy that's going to compete, you know, for playing time.
Yep. Okay. That's all fine. And I hope.
Best part is he didn't cost you anything.
That's right. I get the feeling, though. I mean, when this season starts, or when next season starts, it's my opinion that the quarterback position on this team will be completely rebuilt. Completely.
Don't you think?
We won't. Next year, when next year starts, next season starts, it's my opinion that a grizzled veteran quarterback like a Trent Dilfer will have been brought in to get from that point to the point that the rookie they draft next spring is ready to take the reins.
Don't you think that, in a sense, that's what Edwards is? If he comes in and performs well, he gives you a low-cost option.
Might be, but my guess is no. He's still a young guy. I don't think anyone has accused him of being a grizzled veteran. You know, I'm thinking that...
Started 32 games, which gives you a little leg up.
Mm-hmm.
You remember how...
Well, I mean, real quick, I'm sorry. Grizzled veteran, like, give me a name.
Well, for instance, Gary Danielson was that guy for Bernie Kosar.
Kurt Warner in Arizona.
Scott DeBerg was that guy for John Elway. That's what I'm talking about. Right. Yeah.
You remember how John Gruden used to have just, I mean, a whole collection of quarterbacks in Tampa?
Mm-hmm.
He knew it.
You've got to have
he
quarterbacks.
Knew he knew.
He'd take anyone.
You had to have the man. And he'd say, give me five. And hopefully I'll get lucky.
Jeff, the Steelers are down to number four. And we're four games into the season. They got down to number four in week two.
How about the fact that who do they have this week?
Baltimore.
At home?
Oh, poor Charlie Batch. They will just... Oh, they'll kill him. He will not finish the game.
I don't know about that. Pittsburgh is winning because they have one heck of a defense.
Is it better than it's been in recent years? I've heard that.
I think it is because Timmons has finally really emerged.
Yeah.
You know, when you have Timmons, Harrison, Woodley, I mean, Ferrier is the weakest guy of the group.
And he's still
pretty good.
I mean,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the weakest one of the group.
Palomalu just looks sensational.
Yeah. Their defense is playing really well.
And James Harrison is just, I love him.
Yeah, what James Harrison did to Vince Young.
I did finally see that.
They couldn't even throw the flag.
Love them. Love them.
Because it was so quick. I mean, you know, but you have got to have, you've got to have a stable of these guys. You know, if you go back to the first year, they traded for Mark Brunell. They took Steve Berline.
An expansion draft.
And they drafted Rob Johnson. That's exactly what you want. That's exactly, the veteran. The midterm guy who's ready to step in, and the developmental guy.
And then the developmental guy became Fred Taylor.
Right, and right away, Jonathan Quinn. I mean, maybe he wasn't the guy, but right away they refortified the position.
Well, he played pretty well in the season ender that
Tom Coughlin was never going to get too far away from having a full stable of quarterbacks.
Right. 355-NFL-1. Let's grab a couple of phone calls. John joins us from Green Cove Springs. Hello, John. Good evening.
Yeah, Vic was saying about bringing in a veteran, bringing in Mark Brunell.
grizzled, not dead. I mean, Mark is at the end. All right, Mark is picking up a paycheck to hold for extra points. Now, I'm talking about a guy who's 30 years old, 31, 32 years old. He's got 3 or 4 years left in him. He can, you know, he can still play. And then when he turns it over to the rookie, he can go back. He can go to number two.
So that can't be David next year.
Wait, hold on, caller. Jeff asked a good question. Yes, it can be David, but he'd have to redo his contract.
Because his salary number is 11 next year, right?
It's not. I think it's not. It's like 8 something now, and it goes up. Yeah, you're right.
I thought it was 9 something. It goes up to almost 11.
Yeah, it's in that ballpark. So, yeah, he can be that guy, but you have to redo the deal.
That's why.
Although the thing is, do you want to do that? I mean, you've got a very volatile situation on your hands right now. This is not healthy. This is not a healthy environment for football. It's not a healthy environment for the Jaguars, for the fans, or for David. This is not what you want.
But let's not overreact after 3 games. Here now, I mean, there's a lot of football left to be played.
I agree, but you know, we may be at the crossroads. We may be at got to do it time. Yeah, Maurice Jones-Drew today asked me. I said, "Is this a must-win game?" And he said, "No, but it's a must-play well game." Very well said. They cannot, you know, get another seal clubbing. They cannot, you know, get hammered by 25 points again this Sunday. Or it's just going to
be ugly.
It's going to be ugly. You've got to at least play them as you played them in December of last year.
35-31.
Jeff, do you agree with that?
Yeah, and that's what I last year that I was so upset about was that the games they were losing, they weren't losing in competitive games. They were just losing.
New England and Cleveland. Yeah.
Seattle, San Francisco.
Almost nobody that you will talk to will say that. They think the Jaguars can play well this week, and they're basing it on the last two.
It's because of the secondary.
Yeah. Well, it's because Peyton Manning's coming in.
Yeah.
here's what happened, Logs. People are seeing Peyton Manning, and they know what he can do. They've seen the secondary the last 2 weeks and the last 3 weeks, and they know the problems that exist. So
who's going to cover Dallas Clark?
I don't know.
Who's going to cover Reggie Wayne?
That's what I'm asking.
No, big question. Who's going to cover Austin Collie? The man who leads the league in catches and yards.
27 catches.
What about Gonzalez? What about the other guy?
Gonzalez has been ruled out.
Yeah, Gonzalez, is he permanently injured? I mean,
he's not as good as Austin Collie anyway.
Well, what about the Pierre Garçon?
He was hurt last week.
Yeah, he didn't practice.
Is he still hurt?
Didn't practice today.
Right now you got Reggie Wayne, Austin Collie, Dallas Clark, because they cut Gijon Robinson.
Gijon Robinson, who used to give Paul Spicer – major.
How many catches does Donald Brown have? Is he
didn't practice today. I don't know whether that means him.
He's a player for them.
He's
got 2 catches. He's got 23 touches.
Okay.
25 touches, 23 carries.
Right. So Dallas Clark is still the guy. He's getting.
You think so?
No, yeah. Austin Collie.
Austin Collie has
21 catches. The guy.
Reggie Wayne has 18.
Well, if you can't cover Austin Collie, how the heck are you going to cover the other two?
Yeah, but Austin Collie's good now, Vic. 4th round pick, too. No, he is. Well, let me say, he's good with Peyton.
Yeah.
Run the ball.
That was kind of what I was thinking it was going to happen.
What's their run
defense
look like?
Terrible.
So Maurice, who has had big games against them.
Terrible. But, you know, that's the problem, though. They don't care about stopping the run. They don't. They don't care about stopping the run because they knew sooner or later Peyton Manning's going to put some points on the board, and then here comes Freenian Mathis.
Right.
I mean, that team is built to play with the lead, and they're built to score points.
That's,
That's how they play.
That is really well said.
And that's why when they get to the playoffs, they have typically struggled is because they start playing the upper echelon teams. They're not playing with that type of elite. They don't know how to deal with it, and that's not the way they're built.
Do you remember the Thursday night game here 2 years ago? Jaguars got up to a 14-0 lead,
And
they still ended up losing that ball game. And it was Freenian Mathis that made the plays at the end.
Great players. Great players.
You realize.
And you could argue which one of them two is better.
Freeney is in his 9th season now. Mm-hmm. He has 87 career sacks. 9 years. And across the way, Robert Mathis is in what? Season 7. He's got 63.
You know, what makes Freeney unique is that he rushes like nobody I've ever seen. I mean, me a player in the NFL's history books that he reminds you of. Can you think of any, Vic?
Fred Dean.
He doesn't have Fred Dean's quickness.
Fred Dean was a shorter guy. That's all
Fred Dean didn't have the Freeney quickness, the speed, the spin, and he's very unique. Mm-hmm. You know, you could say a lot of guys, you could compare him to somebody else, but you can't compare Dwight Freeney to anybody else. I think he's really one of a kind.
All right, Joey.
Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com to see how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers. The Parts House, official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Got calls from the West Side, from Mandarin. Could be you, too. Stick around. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is coming up. Fans, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. Six Jacksonville locations, Stein Mart, more fashion, less price, more Brian Sexton.
I wouldn't put that in the same sentence as fashion, Joe. I'll leave that to you.
You are, no, Vic and is the fashion.
Did you see the Philly shirt that he was wearing yesterday? That came from the back of the closet.
He's doing this on purpose. You're dressing like this on purpose. I saw you wearing a pair of shorts last week. That there's no way you could have left the house with those on unless you were trying to look stupid.
Hey, but it looks good on you. I got a free bowl of soup with those shorts.
The Caddyshack references are almost as diverse as the Christmas Vacation.
The whole deal was, the Eagles were coming to town, yeah. And he was
reliving it.
He was going to become one of them.
He's a beautiful human being.
You know.
Do you know anyone like him? We were talking about the way that Joe.
No, that's why I put his little bobblehead behind me for those commentaries.
Thank you. I can't tell how many people say, is that you behind Vic on Vic's shoulder?
By the way, that's funny. You see the look on Kirk Morrison's face as he was watching Vic on Monday night?
He
didn't know what to make of it. He's sitting there. He's like, what is it? You're ass Vic. Uh-huh. You were talking about the problems.
Did he like it?
Time. I couldn't tell.
I didn't like it. Good.
Yeah.
I like it when they don't like it.
Peter tweeted me. He says, here are some 2011 free agent quarterbacks. Gretkowski, Hasselbeck, Rosenfels, Pennington, Collins. I say you stick with the guy you got in Edwards if you're not going to keep Garrard.
Well, you don't know who's coming free at the end of the year. We don't have to make these decisions now. This is week four.
Well, I'm just saying those don't do any names.
Edwards was added because he's a better option than Todd Bauman. Todd Bauman was brought in here for last week.
Emergency.
You know the offense. If something happens to David, you can get us in and out of the huddle and get the ball snapped, and get us into a play. Now they want somebody who could actually take over if David's slump continues, because at some point you will have to pull him if this continues, because he's not playing in a professional way. He's not playing up to the standards of a professional football quarterback. Would you agree, Jeff?
Yes.
So if this continues, I think David would agree. If this continues, you can't keep playing him. It's not healthy to do that. So you had to have somebody, and Todd Bauman's not that guy. You had to have somebody to whom you could hand the ball should David continue on in this vein.
All right, let's grab a couple phone calls. We've got Monty on the West Side. Monty, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me. I was listening about your comments on Dwight Freeney. One name that does come to my mind who used to really put pressure on the quarterback was Juwan Kearse of the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, but a different style. I'm talking about style. Reggie White had, the power type of game. Strahan had a power type of game. Lawrence, the only thing he's probably the closest thing to Lawrence Taylor that I can think of, because that great speed to go around the corner and then an unbelievable spin, because LT had a great spin.
Yeah, Freeney's short and stocky, and you usually don't see rushers, short, stocky rushers that are as good as he is. Bruce Smith was an angular guy. Juwan Kearse was an angular guy. I mean, going all the way back to the fearsome foursome, Lamar Lundy and that group. I mean, they were taller, angular guys. So, I'll give you a guy that might fit him body type wise. Lyle Elzado. Elzado was a stocky guy.
Technique's different, but
he was a bull rusher all the way.
Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1. Let's grab Scott in Mandarin. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Great. You seem like a lot of the fans, you know, always want to go the easy pickings, which is the coach and the quarterback, and not that there isn't some problem there. But does it truly, most of these problems that we have now, go back prior to Gene Smith and should be laid in the lap of Shaq Harris and Wayne Weaver over the silly money they paid on guys that were either over the hill, incompetent, wasting draft picks on people that couldn't even play in the USFL or something?
Well,
does it really go further back than that? And maybe the fans don't realize how much damage was done over the previous, you know, regime of Gene Harris in the 5, 6, 7 years that Harris was there, and how much damage they did.
Well, if you want to take this back, I'll do it. I'll take it back to the days that they got themselves into a terrible salary cap mess. All right, you start there. You know, and that goes back to Tom Coughlin. I believe Tom Coughlin is a good evaluator of talent, and I have no problem with that. But boy, I mean, he was way too enthusiastic, you know, too aggressive, too fast for his own good, because they overspent and they put themselves in the worst salary cap mess in the league, and therefore you had to have this, you had to gut the roster. And not only did you have to gut the roster, you had to fire the coach. And that was a problem. You had a good coach here. Tom Coughlin was a good coach. That was the guy you wanted. The problem was he was attached to the personnel woes. And the personnel woes, the personnel problems, the personnel failures is what got him fired. It wasn't his coaching that got him fired. It was his management of personnel and the mess that was the salary cap that got him fired. So you can start there, and then as you come forward, then you get into the Shaq Harris era, 6 years. Let's look at those first-round picks. There's only one left on the roster. Two left on the roster, Mercedes Lewis and Derek Harvey. And Derek Harvey has made one tackle in the last 2 weeks. He wasn't even on the play-by-play statistics sheet for the San Diego game. So I think it's clear that of all those first-round picks, only Mercedes Lewis is judged to be a success. One other thing. There are no players left on this roster from the 2005 draft, and there is only Derek Harvey left on this roster from the 2008 draft. Those drafts are supposed to represent the nucleus of your team. That's where your problem is, right there.
Yeah, you're spot on. I mean, that's, you know, the first round picks have to be at the very least starters.
Yes.
And legitimate starters.
Contributors.
Leftwich is gone. Reggie Williams is gone. Matt Jones is gone. Reggie Nelson is gone. And I'll tell you what, if Derek Harvey keeps playing like this, he's not going to be long behind him.
355-NFL-1. We have time for one more call? Okay, let's do it. We'll grab Mark on the west side. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how are y'all?
Good.
I'd say you picked the right draft to need a quarterback.
Yeah. Now, they, you know what? Is it Mark? You say Mark?
It's Mark.
Mark, they made that decision, if I may. Last spring, they looked at the quarterback crop, and I think there was only one guy who even wildly interested them, and that was Clausen. You know, I think they looked at him and said, oh, okay, maybe. But remember, they didn't have a second-round pick either. And then they decided, nah. They decided none of these guys interested them, and they were right. I really believe they made the right decision there. And they decided, as an organization, to bite the bullet. We'll get our guy next year, meaning 2011, because they knew it was going to be a deep, deep crop. It will, you know, it'll be impossible not to get your guy next spring. He's, no matter where you're picking, there's going to be someone who's going to be close enough to you to either fit yourself to the pick or fit the pick to where you are.
I have not seen Sam Bradford play, and I know he wouldn't have been a selection. I mean, first pick
right,
overall.
Yeah,
but real quick, have you any thoughts on?
He had a good
Sam
game.
I haven't seen
he
it.
Had his first good game, I think, this past week. They beat
they
Washington.
Yeah,
they beat
I'm gonna pull up his numbers and where he's at.
He was at 60 point something passer rating before that. I think he should be. I think he was 63.5 going into last week's game. Jeff will tell us what he is now, and we'll know how well he played.
All right, Bradford. Right now, he ranks as 23rd in rating points.
What is it?
Hold on, not there. I got to find it.
Again, he was. I'm sure he was 63.5.
Bradford. Bradford. Heading into here he is. Rating points, not very good. 68.1.
He went up 5 points. So he had a little better game.
Yeah. All right. Just wanted to know.
His 59% completion, 655 yards, and four touchdowns, five interceptions.
And the real issue with Bradford, though, is can he stay healthy? Can he stay on the field? That's the real issue.
All right. Let's take a break by throwing it to you, Joe.
You got to be a season ticket holder. Use your Jaguars reward card when you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline and get $2 in Jag Bucks. For details, go to Jaguars.com. News is next. Then more Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Here we go. Sorry. I'm shaking this thing by Sunday. That's why I appreciate your help tonight, Joe, reading the cards. Thank you. Let's grab John in Mandarin up next. Jaguars This Week rolling into our final half hour. Hello, John. Good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my call. You know, my question really has to do with David Garrard. If they went back, the coaches, to the 2007 films, I think his threat was not only was running and passing. He's never going to be Peyton Manning or somebody's going to be able to stay in there and be effective because he's an athlete almost as much as a quarterback. And so I don't understand, do the coaches ever go back and look at those things? And I don't know if it was by design last year or just – the fact that the offensive line protection was so lousy in 2007 that's what happened. But
well, you got to remember one thing, John, is that when David was using his legs like that, a lot of that stuff was not designed. I mean, you know, a lot of it was just impromptu stuff to where David bought time, and he's very good at that. The thing that I did not like that I saw this past Sunday, and Vic, take you back to that game, he had two scrambles. Do you remember the end of those scrambles?
He just laid down.
He was kind of looking for
you know
for
why? Hit. Do you know why?
Why?
That, he's not young anymore, Jeff.
Yeah, but that's not the Dave. That's not how David has always done that.
I don't care who you are. There's a point where Vic, Father Time catches you, and I think Father Time got
I'm not
him.
Buying that. I
why not?
I'm not.
Why is it that everyone refuses to believe that players get old?
Because he's not that old.
He's 35, 34?
34.
Okay. He's at that age where quarterback.
Brett Favre.
Yeah, he's doing great. He's at that age where quarterbacks stay in the pocket.
Yeah, but I just didn't like the way he finished those two scrambles. I mean,
well, you know the thing.
I didn't like it either. I told you he looked unathletic.
Be aggressive, okay?
He stopped
run.
Right.
And
shy the marker.
And then slide into second base like you're going to take out somebody.
Right.
Okay? Don't kind of go down the field and then go
fall to the ground.
I don't like that.
Like the help. I've fallen and I can't get up, lady.
That wasn't good.
Because one time
he
sat down right at the marker and it was close.
Yeah, it was too close.
Yeah.
I mean, he got it, but it was.
I thought the same thing. I told you, it's the first time I've ever seen him play that he looked unathletic.
355-NFL1. Appreciate the phone call. Let's move along. We've got Bill on the south side. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi. Jeff, this is Bill. Thanks for taking my call. Something that's bothered a lot of fans that sit around me, and I imagine it bothers the team as well, is the way that offenses have been able to score with less than 2 minutes to play at the end of the first half. I hate to prevent defenses, but what do you think we can do about that?
Play better in the back end. The two-minute defense was not good. And if you look over the last, two games now, maybe three games, because they did it against Denver, did the same thing. I don't know how many plays it was, but I think there was like 12 plays, two touchdowns, and 160 yards in the first two games. And then you got to add the one that Michael Vick had there on that two-minute drive. I mean, it's not acceptable. You know, and up front, it's okay. I mean, the pressure is getting close. The back end, though, has not been good.
The Jaguars were in a three-man rush, which means there were eight men dropping. Jeff, how do you get caught in single coverage on a wide receiver when you're dropping eight guys?
Which one was that?
The touchdown pass to end the first half with 4 seconds left, the one where Rasheen went to the back of the end zone with a guy, and the guy came forward.
Yeah, and that was it wasn't true eight man. It was it's called two man, and so you have two safeties back there. But when the field's so short, the safety doesn't get over the top of the outside guys. The problem that I had with that play was that in two man, everybody's playing man, and then you have two safeties back deep that play center field. You had like three different guys that were standing watching their guys protect,
I'm saying,
and that they didn't come up in what we call hug up, which means you become an extra rusher.
Right.
And when they didn't do that, it gave Mike too much time. I mean, there were seven guys at the around the box area, four of them rushing, three of them looking.
Yeah.
It should have been four of them rushing initially and then seven total once the other three guys they were covering were blocking.
So it's 11 against eight.
It was 11 against eight four. It was 11 against eight because the three
guys.
It's not
going
to
work.
No.
Hey, not to excuse the defense, but real quick, just to comment on that penalty on Uche Nwaneri right before that
terrible
final
call.
2:34 left to play. The score is 7-3. Jaguars are driving for a shot at making it 7-6, and then that 15-yard penalty from the 50-yard line changed everything.
And this was a case of, here once again, the changing of the position of the umpire did not help. The referee who had the full frontal look of the play did not throw the flag. It was the umpire who had his back to the contact. In other words, he was standing behind the defensive lineman. And so the only thing that he saw was the helmet coming off and then an arm coming up in the air after contact. The referee saw it. He didn't throw the flag, and he had the best look at it.
Okay. Now, I'm going to balance this out here because they flat blew the fourth down play. The spot on the fourth down play. The guy's whole body was across the line, and they moved the ball back.
Sure.
And then you see in the replay, you see the body is across the line, but you can't see the ball, so you can't make the call from the replay. So, I mean, sometimes it works for you, and sometimes it works against you.
The body was back. The body was all the way. I mean, the ball was all the way back at the belt.
Well, I'll tell you, Jeff, there wasn't one person in the press box, including the Jaguars PR guy, who looked at that and didn't think that was a bad spot.
All I really wanted was a comment from you on the call, and I knew the umpire issue would come into play there.
Well, Jack went to it, too. He played that bad call card. But I don't like that because I think they got a real break. And by the way, on the third down spot, Andy Reid screwed that up. He should have challenged it because the guy never touched down. He was lying on bodies when he reached the ball out, and then they moved the ball back. So there was not only one bad spot, there were two bad spots in that series.
I'm just pointing out the umpire issue because I think it is more of an issue than people let on, and that play probably goes by most people.
Well, that's normally not a call for the umpire. I mean, that's not a call that he's supposed to make anyway.
No, he's on the other side of the line, except not this year.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a quarterback.
But as people look at the move,
the problem is Uche went to the head, and the helmet came off.
No, he didn't go to the head.
Well, the helmet came off, and
it appeared that his arm was like a forearm to the head, but that's not what it was.
And these officials have been ordered by the league to err on the side of safety. But that's the truth, Jeff. I swear it is. I mean, that's what they've been told.
No, I know.
I just think you have to see it.
I know.
You have to see the penalty to call it. That was my point.
You can't think. You got to know.
Right.
I can't. I completely agree. Except nowadays, it's just you know you're going to get it. It's like every time the crowd goes, ooh, you're going to get a penalty in pass interference.
All right, let's take a break. We've got callers on the line. We'll come back and wrap up Jaguars this week on a Wednesday evening, Colts week. After this, on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it. All right, about 10 more minutes left in the show. We've got plenty of callers on the line, so let's get right to them. And let's go to Ty, who is out in Jacksonville Beach. Hello, Ty. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Do you have any ties? Ty? Caddyshack.
Lots of Caddyshack. I think we've confused Ty. Ty, welcome to the show. You are on the air.
Hey, how's it going? I was just asking about us. I noticed today that Deji Kareem was not on the injury report. So is he going to be returning to kicks now, or did Daquan Underwood take over that spot?
I think that he's got to show the ability to handle the ball with that thumb. And so even though he may not be on the injury report, he still has to show him something. They have to have confidence that that ball's not going to come out, because that the thumb that he hurt was the one on I think his left,
yep,
because he's a left-handed carrier. That's how he holds the ball.
Jeff, isn't that a two-month injury?
I don't know what the initial injury was. I mean, you know, we didn't never really kind of got any information on that. So
have you ever broken your
know.
Thumb? I mean, you've broken everything.
Yeah, I've broken both, but I didn't have to carry football.
Right. I mean, I would think that you might not see him back after the bye week, just to give him time.
Yeah, I don't know, but boy, I really want to see him back out there, because he is a tremendous weapon on special teams. I mean, Tyquan's got great speed, but he's got to have a big crease. If he doesn't have a big crease, he doesn't utilize his speed. He gets a little hesitant to hit it, whereas Deji Heath, man, he just hits it.
Yeah. When you saw what Devin Hester meant to the Bears on Monday night.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that's a full roster spot to take up for a guy who only does one thing. I mean, I'd put him on IR.
No.
Jeff, he only does one thing.
But he does it really good.
You don't know that.
Yeah, but he does it really well. And you only have Maurice, Rashad, and him. So it's not like you're killing, you know, a position because he only does one thing. He does one thing on game day, but he can do more.
Okay.
355 NFL1. Let's go to Stan in Fleming Island with a thought on the quarterback. Hello, Stan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
Just wanted to dive in and talk about David Garrard. I didn't know if the team had a psychologist or not for the players.
They do.
But he definitely can be a useful one, and he could benefit from it in the fact that somebody should just let him know that it's the team's job to get him to the red zone, but I will put the emphasis on him and him alone to get the ball in the end zone. I wouldn't call a play. It would be up to him, because by himself, what he needs is tenacity. If he wanted, nobody could stop him from scoring with three chances if he wanted to get it in there by himself. And regardless of the tools he's got around him, I mean, he's got some of the best blockers. I mean, you look at Maurice Jones-Drew as a blocker, for crying out loud. And not that he even needs him. He can do something naked bootleg or something. I don't know. Or run a sweep play. But he could get it in one or two tries if he really compelled himself to do it. And I just don't see any leadership, any tenacity. I don't see any angriness. I don't see any. I don't know what the word I'm looking for. I guess tenacity is the best word to not be denied.
Stan, stop right there. I do like what you just said there. I don't see the tenacity, or the anger, or the drive,
intensity.
He's a quarterback. What the hell do you want him to do? He's a quarterback.
Vic.
He's supposed to distribute the ball, not kick ass.
No. But I'm talking
that's got to be a promo joke.
No. But I'm talking about a demeanor. You know what I mean?
I just want him to distribute the ball to the right guy. So when you see a guy he's open, throw him the ball. I don't want him to go over and beat the hell out of the defensive back.
That's what I want, too. But I want to see a demeanor, a demanding intensity and demeanor.
Okay.
Tom Brady has it. Peyton Manning has it. When something doesn't go right, he
Peyton Manning, he whiffed on that tackle in the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl. And he ran right by the guy like a wuss. Please. He's a quarterback. I mean, caller, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand in front of the mirror and say to the mirror what you just said to us. If the reflection in the mirror doesn't laugh at you, call us and we'll try something else. I mean, that's insanity, what he's saying. He wants him to plow into the defense him back.
No, but I like the part that he said about a demeanor.
Well,
he's talking
more aggressive
about a
posture,
demeanor.
Like you were talking about in the runs.
Yeah. You know, and obviously, when you're not having success, it's kind of hard to have that.
There was something missing in his game last week, beyond the X's and the O's. I'm with you on that. All of a sudden, David looks soft. I've never thought of David as soft. Now, I don't know what that is. Age? Maybe he...
You like that age card.
Well, there's a point. There's a point. Listen, I covered Joe Green's most dominating football player
I've
ever covered, and there was a day when all of a sudden he couldn't do anything.
No, I know, but you've been trying to use the age tag from Peyton Manning for the last 5 years.
Well, I mean, eventually, and Jack said it today.
He keeps saying it every year.
Jack said it today. He said eventually Father Time will get him, but he hasn't got him yet.
He's a quarterback.
How old is Manning?
He's only 13th season.
He's a quarterback. He's been playing 4 years. The Father Time's not even a consideration.
Well, Manning, of course, I mean, he sacks himself. He doesn't run with the ball. He doesn't do anything with the ball except throw the ball.
He get hit all that much, except this year you say he's gotten hit a lot.
He's gotten hit more, I think, in three games than he ever has.
But, I mean, you know, I'm just... What the caller was saying to me, I mean, that's the line extreme.
Of the year.
We're asking too much.
I liked it. Val's kind of a pep talk for David.
I like it. Great. All right, let's grab at least one more call. We've got John who joins us from the north side with another thought on the quarterback spot. Hello, John.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
Nothing.
Hey, I'm wondering, you know, I like David Garrard just as much as anybody has. He's either, you know, he's either on or off, it seems like these days, but... What about Trent Edwards? We just got him, yesterday?
I think he's probably the solution.
That's what I want to know. What do you guys think about that? And
he's just a guy.
What do you think is going to happen?
Right now, he's not an option. But once he has 3 to 4 weeks, if David is continuing to play at the level that he's playing at,
yeah,
he will be playing.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, as I said earlier in the show, you cannot allow that kind of performance to continue. It's not good for anybody. And you have to have a guy who you can then use to replace David. Todd Bauman's not that guy. Trent Edwards is. That's what Trent Edwards can do. I don't think there should be any expectations for him beyond that.
Well, and see, I have a little higher expectations of Trent Edwards than maybe you, Vic, just because, you know, there's a lot of people that are down on him in Buffalo. But think of what he has been through in his young career. Mm-hmm. Dick Geron, the defense coordinator that took over.
Perry Fuel.
Mm-hmm. And then now.
Chan.
You got Chan.
Yeah, but Chan he's every quarterback's friend. He's a guru. He's an offensive mind. He's the guy that gave us
then
the
slash.
Then
why did he name him the starter to begin with?
They were going to try to resurrect his career, and it didn't happen.
And look at the talent that they had on that offensive line. They traded Jason Peters.
It's awful. The offensive line is
awful. It's beyond awful.
Awful.
Three-time Pro Bowler at left tackle.
They traded him.
Okay, you know, I want to temper some enthusiasm, some expectation, because, you know, I think this past offseason we really set ourselves up for this.
And that was what you said on Monday night. Now
yeah,
I remember.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't want to do it again.
Well, expectations. We can't have expectations to have a team to be competitive.
I think that no, that's fair. Absolutely. But beyond that, I just think you're setting yourself up for a fall.
How have the emails been this week?
Because put me in a nut house.
You're making me laugh big time here at the end of the show. I mean, you just have a little line for everything. What Super Bowl?
You were in a nut house last week.
Well, thank you, Jeff. You're right, and I'm back.
You have a sharp,
week.
You have a sharp little edge. It's refreshing.
So it's a weed kind of week. That's how I started in my Ask Vic column.
Weeds
it's a
and
what?
Flowers.
Say that again.
A weed type of week. I ended last week's Ask Vic. A guy sent me a wonderfully sensitive email, something to which you cannot relate, I'm sure, about the difference between plants and weeds. You know, in other words, it's all a matter of perception. And I told the story about how one day I walked, as I was cutting grass, I walked past our dog's grave and saw a plant growing out from there. And I thought my wife had planted a plant, so I weeded around it. And every week I walked by and it grew taller and stronger. And then one day I happened to notice that it resembled a lot of the weeds around it. It was a weed. And all of a sudden it ceased to be a flower. It became a weed, you know.
It's all a matter of perception.
So then when this week started, someone said, oh, it was a lovely story about, you know, about the weed and the plant. And I said, well, you know, I forget what.
Your comment was, I have a feeling it's going to be about weeds.
This is going to be a weed kind of week.
I'm just wanting to clarify because that can be a wrong meaning to have.
Oh, and I don't do that stuff, Jeff. I don't. Not even at Kent State, I didn't do that.
Joe, take us home.
Good night, everybody.